Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you all for joining in on Blog Talk, Smile 3E, Iron Sharpening Iron Ministries. This is our fifth Monday of the month, and I am so excited that we have a youth minister on the line for us tonight. For those of you all that will not be speaking at this time, I'm going to ask you to mute your phones so that when we get on in the program, you will hear what the minister is going to say on tonight, because we're going to be talking together. I'm going to be asking our minister, which is going to be Minister London Thomas, I will be asking her some questions that will help us out with our ministry on tonight. So I would like to say, first of all, I am Minister Sylvia Kaiser. I will be your host for tonight. Minister Sheila Kaiser always helps me out with the ministry, but I think tonight she's at work. So what we're going to do is we're going to start the program off with our foundational scripture, which I know you all should know it by heart. It is Matthew 6:33. So if you don't have it, please turn to it and follow me with the reading of the word. Ye first, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That is Matthew 6:33, our foundational scripture. So let's get together, get your Bibles, and follow along with us on tonight, and your pen and paper so that you can write down little notes. So at the end of the program, I would like for everyone that's on the line to give words of encouragement to Minister London so that, you know, she would know that you all were listening and you hear her. If you're not at work and you're not able to, we understand. So let's go into prayer right now. Father God, we thank you for this Monday. This is the last Monday of the month. And God, we just want to say we thank you for keeping us at this time in our lives with the coronavirus and everything else that's going on. God, we know that you are able. We know that you are able to lay your hands on each and every one of us. We know that you're able to heal each and one of us. We know that you're able to keep everything and anything away. God, for when there's the pandemic, epidemic, whatever they want to call it, a pandemic, they want to call it different things that would kind of get the world a little upset. But God, we know we can trust you, that you are our healer, you are our deliverer, you are our overcomer. You can bring us in and out of everything, God, for you are our beginning and our end. God, if you said so, and then that's what it is. God, for we just want to thank you on tonight. Thank you for this woman of God that will be bringing forth your word. Thank you for blessing her and her family. Thank you for keeping her. God, thank you for keeping every minister that's and pastor and prophet and doctor and apostle that's appointed to this line, to this ministry. God, we just want to say thank you. Thank you, thank you. God, we give the people ears to hear and a heart to receive and eyes to read along in your word, that they will hide in their heart, that they may not sin against thee. Oh, Lord, for we trust you. We trust you with all things. God, for you did not give us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. God, we know that it's not easy being a youth in these days, but God, for the boldness that you bring upon the youth, we know that you're going to bless them above and beyond their expectations, that you're going to do what needs to be done to keep them focused and to keep them saved and keep them planted. God, we just want to say thank you. Thank you, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm going to ask Minister London, are you ready to get started? And I'll just, you know, we're going to go on with the program that God has given us on tonight. And if so, Minister London, it's in your hands, however you want to start off.
If we could just get started.
So do you have an opening statement, or you just want me to start asking you questions?
Start with the question.
Okay, well, first of all, give us a little feedback of who you are and your heritage, your lineage. Where do you come from?
I am 16, I'm a sophomore in high school. I attend Montana Catholic High School. I am on two dance teams. I dance for the Diamond Dancers of Chicago, and I dance for Freedom Baptist Church in Hillside. I dance for different occasions for different churches and different ministries. I help out where I am needed. I am just about your average 16-year-old. I sit in the house, you know, and play on my phone, talk to friends. But if I'm not doing that, I am somewhere doing dance or of some sort.
Okay, so I'm going to start it off with saying this. Minister London is a cousin of mine. She is my cousin. We are related in blood as well as in Christ, and I do know that she's a preacher kid. I would like to ask you, my first question is, what is it like coming from a legacy of preachers, apostles? Your dad's a preacher, your grandfather was a preacher, your grandmother was a preacher as well as an apostle, our late Sandra Thomas, Apostle Sandra Thomas was your grandmother, our late Frederick Thomas was your grandfather, and your father is Pastor Servant Troy Thomas, and your mom is Demelva Thomas, which is a great woman in the body of Christ. She plays a very high role in our church, which is the Fountain of Living Waters. So what is it like with you being a preacher's kid?
Honestly, being a preacher's kid, it is just about the same as being anybody's average kid, but the only true difference is that you are in church a little bit more often. God does play a bigger role in my life as far as decision-making goes. Sometimes the average teenager who doesn't really have as much of a strong Christian background as I do would make decisions
mm-hmm.
based off of flesh-like,
mm-hmm.
flesh-like characteristics. But somebody like me or like any of my relatives, as in like my cousins and things of that sort, we kind of think about like, well, if I did this, what would be this type of repercussion afterwards? Because there is always a consequence to all actions. And being that we are all afraid of going to hell, that
mm-hmm.
that does play a really big role into my decision making. But a lot of people my age usually don't think about that. They don't think about like, well, so what if I do this? God gonna forgive me, right? But think about is that there is still a consequence to every action that they make. But I also, being a pastor's child and the granddaughter of an apostle and another pastor and a mother who is a very firm believer in Christ, I do have a very strong anointing on my life. I know that if I was probably anywhere else with anyone else and I didn't have the parents or the relatives that I had, I would not be as blessed and I would not be where I am right now. I would not have the state of mind that I have right now. I would probably be thinking just like the average teenager that smokes and drinks and all of that extra stuff at an early age. And has just about, fallen with the rest of the crowd. And I do feel my anointing on a daily basis. Some things I just can and cannot do just because that's just me. Like, for some pastor's kids, we are definitely held on a pedestal, and either that pedestal is extremely high or it's extremely low. There doesn't usually tend to be and in between with that, it's either you are extremely safe, sanctified, filled with the Holy Spirit, or you are one of the worst kids on the face of the earth. And unfortunately, there are some of us pastors' children that do the opposite of what our parents tell us to do. We do go out and we try that and we try this and we try that. But it honestly is because, people do hold us to a higher standard. And it's like some of us just accept the fact that we can't handle that standard, or we feel like we can't reach that standard no matter how hard we try. But I don't feel as though there there is a pedestal too high for me to reach. And even if I'm not at that pedestal just yet, I know I can reach it if I genuinely try.
Okay. Well, I want to bring this scripture up, which is Proverbs 22 and verse 1. It says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold.
Mm-hmm.
So just saying what you said, it's like you know that the last name Thomas is held very high.
Mm-hmm.
So you're admitting that you rather choose the good name.
Yes.
And you know, I also like the verse Proverbs 22 and 6, where it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So with just hearing what you said out of that first question I asked, you have been trained up. So how old would you say that you were when you really realized you were at a different place than other children, where that what you were being taught was different from what other children would do? How old would you say that you were?
I was 14, I believe, because it all came into, you know, fruition when I got into high school. And I do go to a Catholic high school, but me being my father's child, I do like to argue with my theology teachers, which
mm-hmm.
are my religious teachers, because I guess, like, a lot of us tend to have different religious standpoints, and some of us
mm-hmm.
feel like some things God will say, oh, that's fine, you can get away with that, and some things that they'll say, no, you just shouldn't do that. And it was like, well, when people tend to question you about your faith, which is absolutely natural at this age, when people tend to figure out if that's what they want to believe or if that's what they're not. So I was about 14, because that's when all the questions came rolling in.
Okay, so you also said you dance with different organizations, and you dance on different occasions. Like, I know you dance for family, and I know you dance before the church. Like, if your dad is doing something, you will bless the church. You will set the atmosphere. So, you know, that's letting me know that you were trained in the way that you give God the honor in all things, that you don't mind, you know, setting the atmosphere. So could that be a good place for me to say that I receive what you were saying?
Absolutely.
Okay, so my next question was, what are the benefits of being a preacher's kid? But you just said that, you know, that you understood, you know, that you can't do like other kids, that when you were 14, you realized that it is a difference. So would you say there are any other benefits of being a preacher's kid?
I have favor.
There you go. Walking in that favor, because you're not ashamed. And that's awesome, to not be ashamed, because you do know the word of God. I said, if you are ashamed of him before men, he will be ashamed of you before his father. You do know that's in the word, right?
Yes.
Okay. So, you know, I know you dance. I asked you earlier if you sing, and you was quick to say no. Do you have any other gifts that you know was given to you by God? You know, like, are you able to talk to people like myself that's older than you? They always got to be somebody your age or younger. Do you find yourself able to sit down and have a godly conversation with someone, or, you know, answer their questions about, you know, how sometimes people want to feel like you're a preacher kid, you should know every verse and every word in the Bible? Do you find yourself in situations like that kind of often?
I do. I do have to hear the questions of, like, well, what is books of the Bible, and what are the Ten Commandments, what do they mean, what does each one stand for, what is this verse, and what does this verse say? People think, like, I'm a walking Bible, and I'm not. I guess that's, like, a really big misconception of preacher's kids. I'm also best friends with somebody that is a preacher's kid, and he is the same way as me. He doesn't know every single verse, maybe not. He more than likely does know every single book, but he can. He and I both can definitely give you a full summary of what the Bible says. I may not be able to always pinpoint this specific scripture and this book and this verse and this chapter. I may not always be able to do that, but I can definitely tell you that the Bible does say this and it does say that. Just because I don't know the scripture doesn't mean I don't know what it says.
Mm-hmm. That makes a lot of sense. So being a preacher's kid and having a mom that is a firm believer, do you find it easy or hard to talk to your parents? Are you in a situation where you feel or you know that you could talk to them about anything or anything that's heavy on your heart and not be, ridiculed or put down because you have questions? You know, do you feel that you could talk to them?
I do feel as though I can talk to my parents, but my parents have also taught me that as open and as honest as you should always be with your parents, there should always be a filter. Like
yeah.
My father did a whole service that was talking, that was more so based on the youth and how we felt about different issues of society. And one young lady pointed out the fact that some parents shut us down whenever we feel strongly about something, we feel like we should talk to you about it. But there should always be a different respect in mind whenever you are talking, not only to just your parents, but to an adult, period. Like, mm-hmm. I cannot go to my mom and be on 10 because I am mad about something and get to cussing and fussing at her because I'm mad about something. No, at the end of the day, that is still my mom, and I should still respect the fact that she is an adult, and there is just some things that you just do not say or do, and that goes back to what I was saying before. There are just some things that you just do not do, and there are just some conversations that honestly just don't need to be had, period. And honestly, if you just feel like you can't talk to your parent, there's always someone else that you can more than likely, you know, respect just as much as you respect your own parent, to go to talk to about something that you just may not feel all the way comfortable with, you know, talking to your parent about.
Okay. So that being said, when me and you were talking earlier, I had shared something with you, and before I share with others what it was, I want to ask you the question first. Do you ever find yourself being ashamed of being what in my day they called us, having parents that were holy rollers, speaking other tongues, always in church, and they going to church? Do you find yourself embarrassed of that and wanting to do other things?
Actually, I have not. And I did think that at some point I was going to reach that point, like, I wanted to, like, as though I was eventually going to get to that same point in time where I didn't really want to talk about my faith and I didn't really want to answer those questions that people kept asking me and things of that nature. But I've always been open about my religion, and I've never hid the fact that I do believe in God and there is a hell and a heaven, and if you don't live right, you are going to hell. And I have honestly just led with that my entire life, and I honestly didn't care what people had to say about it because, as my mom has said, I'd rather have it and not need it than need it and not have it. So mm-hmm. I'd rather have my faith, and if I don't need it, oh well. But if I needed it, I have it, and I'm good. I refuse to denounce my faith and renounce it because someone else has something else to say about it. Yes, I am. Everyone at my school is well aware that my father is a pastor, and they have him on Facebook too. They watch his Facebook Live.
Okay.
They are well aware that my father is a pastor, my grandmother was an apostle, and my grandfather was a pastor. I have never been ashamed of that.
That is so awesome to hear. And the reason I asked her that question, when we were talking earlier, when I asked her to do this program with me for the youth, I had shared with her when I was growing up that we were teased because our mother and our auntie, which is your great grandmother, we called her Aunt Sweetie, because her name was Clara Dickens. My Aunt Sweetie was such a sweet woman in her spirit and just everything about her. She could sing. She was just an awesome worshiper. She was an awesome praiser. She was sanctified. And my mom was a praiser, you know, and she was sanctified. And our parents and our family had wore long dresses and no makeup. And our friends used to tease us about that, call them holy rollers, and always teasing us, you know, about our parents speaking in tongues and laying hands and getting hands laid on them and they fall out in the floor and everything. And at that time, like I said, it was a different time. I would call myself, I'm going to speak for myself now, my sisters, I would call myself, finding myself sometime ashamed. So one day, me and a friend of mine, we was going on a field trip. And my mom would always pray and tell God what she needed concerning her children. And it was like we had a tree in the backyard that just gave our blessings. She would always make sure we had money for our trips. We had food for our trips. We was always able to go. And this one day, my friend say, come go with me to get some money from my mom so I can pay for my school trip. And I said to her, okay, you know, not thinking, just said, okay. And then as we was walking, I said, where are we going? Because of the way we were going, it was towards where I lived at. And she said, oh, we're going down here on such and such street. I said, girl, that's around the corner from my house. And then I started thinking, I said, what's down there? Ain't nothing on that corner but old factory building and a tavern. And I said, well, maybe her mom works in the factory, but no, we crossed the street. And I said, girl, I can't go in there. If my dad see me in there, he will beat the brakes off me. So we went in the tavern, and I was kind of, I went with her, but I was scared. I was shaking like I was ice cold, just standing in some ice water. And the bartender was looking at me like, aren't you Mr. Kaiser's daughter? And I was like, we got to go, we got to go. And I was looking for her to look for her mom because I didn't see no woman in there. And she went to the end of the bar, and her mom was laying on the floor, sloppy drunk, at 9 o'clock in the morning. And I looked at her, and I gave her this look. You all could imagine the look I gave her. And when we got up out of there, I said, don't you ever in your life talk about my mom again, being a holy roller, being a sanctified, long-dressed, that. I said, at least I know where my mom be at. She's either, she's not at work, she's at church. If she's not at church, she's at home. My mom is, yes, sanctified. Yes, she's a holy roller. I said, at least I don't have to wake up every morning with a different uncle coming out of my mama's room, and I got so many uncles, I don't know who my real uncle is. That was something me and you shared earlier. And to hear what you're saying as a youth in this day and time, not to be ashamed, that is awesome. That is so awesome that you're saying, I'm not ashamed. Yes, everyone knows my father is a pastor. Everyone knows where I come from. Not just your father is a pastor. You come from a legacy, a bloodline. Your uncle, Antoine, is a prophet. You come from a, like I said, just a bloodline of strong men and powerful men and women in the body of Christ. And to hear you at 16 brag on that, that's awesome in this day and time. You're not bragging on, oh, I was looking at VH1 and BET, or whatever it is y'all are looking at and talking about. But I thank God that you have that down inside of you. I thank God that your dad and your grandma and your grandfather and even your uncles and your aunties, our late Joy Thomas, that they taught you. They put down inside you that don't be ashamed of God, that God is everything that we need him to be. I'm glad you could talk to your parents. I'm glad they're open. But like you say, have a filter, because that's one thing in our family we were taught, if you act up, wherever you act up, I'm going to show up. And I thank God that God has put that in you to know that you are a child of God. You are chosen. There is an anointing on your life. There's a calling on your life. I also want to ask you, what is a scripture you always find yourself going to and living by? I guess, in other words, your favorite scripture?
Proverbs 3:6.
Let me turn to that. I'm right here in the book of Proverbs. Let me go to that. 3 and 6. Kind of hold this phone and work with one hand. It's kind of in my way. Okay, what is Proverbs 3 and 6 say? Go ahead and tell me. You want to tell me, you want me to read it for the people.
You can read it.
In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Ain't that a blessing? Not in some of your ways, in all thy ways. Go ahead, London. Bless us on tonight. Is there anything else you would like for to share with people about, you know, just loving God, how God has showed up in your life, showed out in your life, how he has made at 16 some of your dreams come true?
I have noticed that since I have increased in my prayer life, because I have been told since I was quite young that I have a prayer life out of this world, since I've increased that and I've taken heed to what has been said to me, I have noticed a change in my mindset. I know I didn't do it on my own. I can only give that to God.
Mm-hmm.
I've noticed that I've become a lot more determined, because in the past recent years of my life, I guess I could say that I was always in between, and I didn't know whether something was right or something was wrong, if it was yes, if it was no. And I guess I've just learned to be absolute in everything that I want to do and what I desire. Like, mm-hmm. I've been working on my own projects. I want to do hair, and when I earn X amount of money, I want to start this. And then I have worked on, you know, I've created my own business plan as to how much money I want to raise before I go off to college. I have started looking for different colleges that have piqued my interest. I know what I really want to be and what I really want to do, and I have my heart set on this specific dream, and I pray that this is what God has put in my life and has destined for me to do, because this is something extremely passionate to me, and I don't think I've ever been any more passionate about anything ever in my life. And I've noticed such a huge turn in my mindset, and not only my mindset, but in my emotions. I have not found myself, you know, always confused about something or frustrated, but more so of, okay, if that's what it is, if that's what it is. If God said no, God said no. If he said yes, he has said yes. And I've just stopped questioning everything since I've increased my relationship with God.
That is awesome. So I'm glad that you have already decided what you wanted to be, what you want to be, and you have set goals. And I thank God that I'm listening to you. And it's so awesome to hear a young person say, I am a leader and not a follower. And the only thing you're following is Christ. That is so awesome to hear, because I run into a lot of young ladies, and what I see in them and I hear them say, it doesn't match up with who they are or they should be. Nobody is out here pouring into their spirit and teaching them who they are. You know, I thank God, as we were growing up, me and my sisters, our father taught us and was teaching us who we should strive to be. He taught us the type of men to look for in our life. He taught us that if a young man came to our house to see us, the first thing our father would do was look at his shoes. Oh, baby. You know how they say shoes make an outfit?
Mm-hmm.
If that young man's shoes was ran over or dusty or dirty, or his shoestrings was untied or dirty, he could not come in our house. You know, that's one thing that we were taught, not to look for men that were pushovers, not to look for men that look good now. We were taught that when you look at a man, you have to see him in his future. Are he, you know, is this man going to be a provider? Are he going to be a protector? You know, are he, and when I say are he, I mean it like, will he be able to withstand the pressures, or will he just give up and walk off? Our dad taught us to see ourselves down the line. Where will we be if I get stuck right here? And I'm so glad to hear you say that you have a road plan mapped out for you. Because, see, a lot of people say a road plan, but I say a road because, you know, you're traveling down a road. You're claiming Christ at a young age. And we do know that you will have to know how to pray, but you just said you have an awesome prayer life. And that's so awesome to hear where a young lady, instead of saying, I've got so many followers on my Instagram or whatever else it is you all have, because I'm still on Facebook, you know, I'm old school. But, you know, you already have a plan set out for your life. And I believe as long as you keep God first and you stay before God, God is going to bring it to pass. You know, I'm just glad that your father and your mother and your grandparents and your uncles and your family, that we did keep you in the place of Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way, I'm going to say she should go. And when she is old, she will not depart from it. I thank God that you are in that place where I know for a fact you encourages my son to come to church, you know, and I just thank you for being an encourager, for taking this time out. And I thank you for just being honest and knowing that God is just that God. You don't need no help. So I want to ask you before we end the program, is there anything else you would like to say concerning your faith, your belief, and your religion?
No, ma'am.
Okay, so Apostle Elect, please open the lines, and I would like for everyone that's on the line to please say something to Minister London Thomas, so as her dad said, number four, so that she will be encouraged, because I'm so proud of her. I love her so much. I tell her all the time, I go back and look at her Facebook postings where she's dancing, and I just love to see her dance, because when she danced, she's dancing before God. She's dancing for God. She pours herself out in the gift that God has given her, which is praise dance. And, Londa, I just want to tell you how much I love you, and I thank you so much.
I love you, too.
Okay, are the lines open, Apostle?
Yes, they are, and I had two questions for London, and I was wondering if she would answer them for me.
Of course.
Okay, well, my first question is, being such a awesome worship dancer, how do you keep a balance of your relationship with God that is seen when you dance and still yet being relatable to your friends?
I think I bring it to, I don't base my faith off of what adults say. I know that God has his own relationship with everyone. So I know that there are certain levels that certain people can understand. So whenever I'm talking to my friends, I talk to them and I give them different scenarios that can help them understand, versus me talking to an adult who has grown up in the church and knows everything and knows more than I know. And I could just say, well, remember in the Bible, and it says this, this, that, and the third. But when I'm talking to somebody, I have to give them a certain scenario, a modern-day scenario. But, like, when I was a child, my parents, they had to explain to me who God was in a way that I could understand. So, like, they can say, like, think of, like, this really big bear and in front of this tiny town, and he's big and he's great, but he's friendly. He brings them food. He gives them this, that, and the third. But that's because they put it in a way that I can understand and so forth. So as I get older, of course, my understanding of who God is going to you know, change. But as of right now, I can only explain God in the way that I know. So I do the same to make sure that those around me, if I am talking about him, understand in the same way that I do. If that answers your question.
Yes. Excellent. Now my next question. I pray that it doesn't make you blush or uncomfortable. Being as beautiful as you are, not just as a kind person, but when you look in the mirror, you're beautiful. I mean, your features are beautiful. Everything about you is beautiful. How do you keep the balance of staying beautiful and not letting it go over to the side to where it's vanity and prideful, which could come in the middle of your relationship with God? Because you truly are beautiful. I'm not just saying this. You have that model type of look. So how do you keep that balance?
Honestly, to veer away from the whole boastful and prideful thing, my mom and my dad, me growing up, they did always point out to me how unattractive and not necessarily unattractive, so don't take that the wrong way. But how odd it looks to hear and listen to a female or anybody per se constantly boast about how they look. Because to me, I think that, yes, I know how I look. No, I am not ugly. And I refuse to walk around saying that I'm ugly because I was made in God's image. So there is nothing I can do to change that. But, I mean, it is up to me to, you know, maintain how I look. But beyond that, I was created how I was created. When I see people my age and they constantly say, well, look at me and look at this and look at this. You see, I'm built like this and she built like that. Like, ew, I do not think it is okay to bring down anybody else with how they look, or they can't control that. So I see no point in making a big fuss about how I look. I am absolutely grateful that I am beautiful inside and out, and I have to walk in that and not – I feel like most people that tend to constantly flaunt it don't genuinely believe it, because they want confirmation from other people, and they want to hear other people say, oh, she is fine, and she this, that, and the third, she boom, bam, pow. I don't have to hear anybody else tell me that. If I know it, I know it. I don't care if you think I'm ugly or if you think I am stunning, drop dead gorgeous. As long as I believe it, I feel like that's all that matters.
Amen. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. That was wonderfully said. Thank you. Is there anyone else that have a compliment or they would like to encourage London on tonight?
Hello, London. This is one of your cousins. This is your, grandmother's first cousin, Margot McCoy. And I just want to say that you represented yourself quite well today. Great expression, very clear, a lot of clarity, understanding. So it was really great listening to you. I just had one question. I was just wondering what you thought about why dance is becoming so important in worship in today's church.
Growing up, I have an older cousin named Aliana, and before I started dancing, I used to watch her dance, and I was so young. But she used to do praise dance, and then she did mine, and then she infused both. And then when you see the infusion of both, you see the expression, and you see the passion and what she was feeling. And I was like, I want to feel that. I want to do that. Then I also had an older sister named Carly, and Lord knows I look up to her till this day. And it's like when you see people and you see the tears fall and you see the pain, you see the agony that people feel when they are dancing and they are worshiping a certain song. It's like, so this man up, up up here in this heaven that y'all talk about is really real, because there's no way that anybody who says that they love dance is really up here dancing and crying at the same time. So I got older, and I honestly do think that my mom saw my anointing on my life earlier, because I didn't know that I could dance. I just kind of just thought it was something fun. I was just like, hey, I can do this. I can snap and rock and clap at the same time. This is pretty cool. But I never really thought about dancing and praise dancing and going as far as I have to this day. But I guess as soon as the music comes on, and because I really, I'm really not a talker. I'm not a fan of talking in front of large crowds. And I see, like, my uncle and my daddy and my grandma, they can stand and they can talk in front of crowds, but that wasn't me. So I had to figure out my way, and I had to figure out my worship, and my worship was through dance. And it was just crazy, because it's like, how do you go from not knowing who God is or what it was or what he is, or he or she, I had no idea who it was, to they turn on this song, and it's like, your arms move, your legs move, your body moves, and everyone can feel what you're saying with no words. How do you know what I'm saying even though I'm not speaking? And it's like, well, maybe I am doing something right. Maybe this is my ministry. So I just figured that as the years went on and as I got older, dancing to stronger and stronger songs and ministries, it was like, this is it. This is it.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you so much. That was very beautiful to understand that God wants us to express ourselves uniquely and individually. And whatever we do, if we do it to his glory and to his honor, he will get the praise. And that's mm-hmm. what's coming across tonight from you. So thank you so much for sharing. God bless you, hon. God bless
you. You're welcome.
Thank you, Minister Margot. Is there anyone else who would like to encourage London on tonight, Minister London Thomas?
This is her mom, Mel. I am just completely choked up. I have had tears fall because I am unbelievably and just in awe of how wonderful you have articulated, you have eloquently spoken tonight, and just to hear you verbalize exactly who God is in your life. I am godly proud. I am proud as a mother. I am just in complete awe of you, and I love you, baby. This was amazing.
Love you too.
Thank you, Proud Mom Email. Is there anyone else that would like to speak into Minister London's life?
This is her father. Praise the Lord. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Wonderful. I am I'm very proud of what I heard, and how you, like your mom said, how you articulated and how you put together, and what was said and how it was said, that's important. That lets everybody know that you are paying attention. Because, you know, as we grew up in church, we didn't always pay attention. We just knew we had to be there. But it's good to know at your age that you are listening. And not only are you listening, but you can hear it in your voice, the sincerity of what's going on with you as far as that is concerned. And I am godly proud of you. And just know that there's a lot of young people out there that's looking for somebody to look up to that ain't old, as they say, ain't about to beat Jesus in their age. And there are some young people that really love God and still yet learning to love him the right kind of way. That's why the Bible says to train up a child in the way they should go. So when they get older, won't depart from that. We've gotten away from training, and we as parents just learn how to just deal with our children or survive with our children. We haven't taken the time to train. And this is evidence of training. This is evidence of the training ain't done yet. Even when I got grown kids and I'm still yet training And those online, we probably got grown kids and we yet training them. But good job, wonderful job. Keep striving, don't give up. And maybe next time you can get you and your best friend on there, y'all can talk at the same time. All right.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Dan, this is Cecilia again. Before I was on and I asked you questions, but this time, London, this is truly a word of encouragement to you. I think you will remember back to the penthouse where you were teaching and you were showing some children that were behaviorally challenged and other things, how to dance and how to worship God. And the teacher that was being formulated in you, I can hear the transition from the penthouse to now. And like you said, your mom and dad had you doing things at a young age, and I can see, just like your dad just said, I can see the change. I can see the maturity of that person that was teaching in the penthouse, all of those children, and how anointed you were then, and even how, as your dad just said, how people were watching you and they wanted what you had. And I would say stay focused, stay on point for God, because the London that we saw in that penthouse training those behaviorally challenged children, and I see you now when you're ministering and when you're training other children how to do things, I can see God just using you in such a great way, not just in worship and dance, but in life in general, because you are writing the book. So you can get them ready now in your head, because someone needs to hear you speak, but they also need to read the things that you have experienced that has caused you to be such an articulate woman and an anointed woman of God, even at age 16.
Amen, amen, amen. I touch and agree with Apostle Elect for that. Is there anyone else who would like to speak into London's life on tonight? Say, London, we may have other people like your mom and me with tears running down our eyes because, you know, the word says that we are read by people. A lot of times we don't know why people ask us to do things, especially representing Christ. We can look at you and see that you don't just have some like. You have an anointing on your life. You have a power with dance. Like Apostle Elect said, I remember the penthouse. And I remember not only you capturing the attention of the children, you captured our attention. I remember when we would get together as family and we would say, London, teach them a dance. It was not so much nobody else knew. We knew that you not only would teach them to dance, but you would teach them the passion and the power of dancing before God. Because when you dance, it breaks something inside of people. It brings them to a point. You know, I said earlier, you set the atmosphere. When you set the atmosphere for God, something happens. You know, when David used to play the instrument for Saul, when you dance, you set an atmosphere. So I thank God you don't take your gift for granted. You don't take your gift like when you said, I can do that, because you follow the lead of Alejandra, which is Prophet Antoine's daughter, Antoine Thomas' daughter. You understood what she was doing in so many words, but now you're able to get in the same arena with her, because when you Thomas Girls dances, you're dancing from generations before you, and you're taking it down to the next generation. So to be able to and be willing to walk in an anointing that was set many, many generations ago and many years ago, don't count it strange that you're walking and dancing in the place that you are. We all can't sing, but you do make a person believe they can dance before God. The Bible talks about men dancing before God, how David danced out of his clothes. The Bible talks about the praise that goes up before God. So I thank God that you are in the place that you are, as your dad says, not as an old person, but as a young person, because young people need to know that it's okay to be saved. It's okay to give God praise. It's okay, because if they don't learn it while they're young, 9 out of 10, they're not going to get all of it when they're old, not unless they're going through something. So I thank God for you. I thank God that you were able to speak tonight to make your mom and your dad proud of you, as well as Minister Margot, Minister Sylvia, myself, and Apostle Elect Cecilia. I thank God that you are willing to be used by God. So don't stop here. We talked about some other things on today. Like Apostle just said, get your book ready. Really get before God and ask God what it is that he has for you to do. And give it to him and let him lead and guide you. And I tell you, it's going to come to pass. I told you earlier, you're going to look back and say, I can't believe I'm here. But it's all because you was faithful to do what God told you to do. So I want you to give credit to God, to your parents, to your grandparents, and then tell everybody about your father's service that he has doing on Facebook now, on Sundays at Father Church.
Thank you to Minister, Pastor, Apostle, Servant, Bishop, Servant, Troy Thomas. And thank you to my Linda, my mom, yeah, the midget that I get my eyes from, yeah, her too. And, of course, my loving Father, Jesus the Christ, of the Son of Man, of the Messiah. Yes. Every Sunday at 2:30, my father goes on live because, unfortunately, you know, the Rona has everybody stuck in the house. He goes on live for maybe 30 minutes, real quick. You guys should tune in. It's amazing. He's not long-winded at all. I promise y'all, a lot of people say, I'm not going to be up till long, and they be up there until Jesus come back. This is not that. I promise you, he will get the word in. He will sit down. You guys should definitely tune in.
Amen. Amen. We want to say thank you so much again for sharing with us, because at 16, there were so many other things you could be doing or you had your mind and heart on doing. So we just want to say thank you for allowing God to use you on tonight and being honest concerning how you feel about loving the Lord. So we want to say to everyone else, please continue to listen to us on Smile 3E, Iron Sharpening Iron, Blog Talk. We are here every Monday night from 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We are also here on Friday night, Facebook Live and Blog Talk with myself, Minister Sylvia Kaiser, from 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, with Let's Talk with Smile 3E, Iron Sharpening Iron. And we are here on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time, 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time with Minister Sheila Kaiser, Apostle Elect Cecilia Kaiser, and Minister Brandon Kaiser. We would like to say we love you with the love of the Lord. There's nothing you can do about it. Don't forget our foundational scripture, which is, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We're going to pray out the service, and just you all, just stay focused. Stay in God's presence. Stay in God's hands. Repent daily, because we have things we have to be forgiven of daily. Okay, so we want to say, God, we thank you for the woman of God on tonight speaking from her heart, being open, and letting everyone know that at 14, she realized the power of loving and praising you, even serving you, oh God. God, we just ask you to pour into the heart of the youth to let them know that you are the only way. You are our Lord and our Savior. Without you, nothing is possible. With you, but with you, God, all things are possible. God, we just thank you for your word on tonight. God, heal America. Heal everyone that's going through this virus. Heal everyone that's desiring to want to know you, God. Give them the hunger, give them the urge, and give them the desire to want to be saved. God, give them a church to go to that's going to teach them about your word and the way and the will and the how to get to know you. For God, we know that you are able and that you will do it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you all. We want to say good night. Thank you again, Minister London. I love you so much.
Amen. Love you too.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.
Thank you, Pastor.
Amen.